Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to tell you that your good morning to me is very popular. In fact, I sometimes think it's more popular than what I have to say in the rest of the assembly. But there are those in far off places who look forward to hear you say good morning. They hear your voice and they rejoice to hear your greeting. And it is a pleasure, of course, for me as well. And it's good to see you all today. Now let's open our ears and listen and pay attention to God's word. Matthew chapter 21, the verse 28, the beginning, the very first verse of this parable that the Savior told. Here we have a father saying to his sons, "Go work today in my vineyard." We have been considering in the last meeting or so of the assembly how that God's vineyard, which we have indicated to you, is his church, his kingdom. God's vineyard is a place of work and labor. Work and labor. We have stressed that. God wants us to be workers. His people are workers. They're engaged in his service. They're not idling their time away. They're not just doing that which is pleasing to them. But they seek first the kingdom of God, the advance of that kingdom, the promotion of that kingdom. That's the first principle in their lives. But I want to come on then from that, because I don't want you to get the impression that being a Christian is a sort of an arduous business. It's all work. It's all hard labor and no pleasure, no joy. That would be very wrong indeed. Indeed, that's what the devil wants to have people think. I can remember it being said to me when I got saved, I was throwing my life away. I was wasting it becoming a Christian. Because in the opinion of those who were saying these things, the Christian life was a life of misery. Now, sometimes Christians give the impression that being a Christian is a miserable thing. You heard the story, did you, about the wee boy walking down the road, and he saw a donkey, and it had its head hanging out over a gate, and he stopped, and he looked at the donkey for a while, and he said, "You must be a Christian, because you have a long face, like my granny, and she's a Christian." And the impression is given that Christians are miserable people with long faces. But that ought not to be so. Oh, there are miserable Christians, all right, but they ought not to be miserable. They have no reason to be miserable. They could be full of the joy of God, which is a joy above all joys. And so I want to emphasize today, or maybe I should say begin to emphasize today, that while serving God requires labor and work and toil, serving God is not a wearisome matter. Not slavery, in the sense that we're driven out to toil and labor under great restraint and misery. No, serving God is not a wearisome thing. And I thought to illustrate this, I would show you two verses in God's word that have to do with working in the vineyard. Remember what the father said to the sons, "Go work today in my vineyard." All right, let's see what God's word says about work in the vineyard. What's it associated with? Well, those of you who are older, you can look up these verses. Psalm 4 and the verse 7. Those of you who can't find it, you just pin your ears back and listen while I read what it says. Psalm 4, verse 7. "Thou hast put gladness in my heart." That's what God does. He puts gladness in our hearts. And the gladness he puts in our heart is more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. Now notice, a good harvest in the cornfield or in the vineyard brought joy to Israel. They rejoiced in seeing a bountiful vineyard. And God uses the joy associated with the vineyard and its harvest as an illustration of the joy that he puts in the heart of his people. It's more than the joy that you find in the vineyard as people labor and harvest the vines. Then there's another verse. that links joy with labor for the Lord. This time it's in Isaiah chapter 16 and the verse 10. Isaiah chapter 16 and the verse 10, and listen to this. And gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field. And in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders, that's the treaders of the grapes, the people who squeeze them with their feet to get the juice out, shall tread out no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease. Now these are words of judgment. And God is telling Israel that because of their sins, judgment's coming. And one of the things that will happen when judgment visits Israel is joy will cease. And God particularly indicates that joy will cease in the vineyard, a place associated with joy. When people were treading out the grapes, they sang. Not too many factories have people singing. I remember, it was many years ago, there was a program. It may well have begun during World War II, and it was a program called Workers' Playtime, and it was on the radio. And it was a very simple program. It featured a number of people who sang visiting a factory, and they put on a bit of a show for the factory workers, an entertainment for them. It was the world's means of lifting their spirits and encouraging them. Probably, as I say, started in World War II when people had to work very hard in factories producing planes, armaments, etc., etc. And they didn't have much joy. It was nose to the grindstone labor. And so the government suggested, well, have a team of people going round these factories and put on a bit of a show. Of course, it was the world's entertainment. And the Bible says that the laughter of a fool is like the crackling of thorns under a pot. You young ones don't know really what that sounds like. But I remember as a youngster when a fire was lit and something like the whin that's out in the fields across the way, when some branches of it, well rotted, were put onto the fire because of all the little prickles on the winds, they flared up right away and there was a lot of crackling going on as they burned. But then it died away very quickly too. And God says, that's like the laughter of the fool. There's a lot of noise for a moment or two and then it fades away and the joy's gone. Well, the joy that was brought to those factories by the entertainers, well, it was a very limited affair. Very limited affair. And it serves to undermine the fact that the places of labor in this world are not places associated with joy, but in God's vineyard there was to be expected much joy. That's what we're to expect in serving God. Joy. Joy. That's what the Lord is saying. Listen to the Savior's own words. And here we're looking at Matthew chapter 11, the verses 28 to 30. Very, very famous words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's what it's like to live in the world. Matthew 11, 28. Living in the world is a labor. And you have a burden. That's a double thing, you see. Look at it, boys and girls. It says you labor. Can you imagine then, here's a man, he's got a spade in his hand and he's digging away, laboring, heavy work. But as well as that, he's heavy laden. He has a huge burden on his back. You have ever seen anybody going out with a spade to dig? It's very likely that the first thing they do when they get out to the place where they're going to dig is to take off their coat, unburden themselves with any encumbering outer garments. They roll up their sleeves because they don't want to be hindered by anything. But those who live in the world, they labor and they're heavy laden. They're carrying a burden. Oh, boys and girls, if you could but understand just what this means, what a picture this is of those who are unsaved, who labor, who do that which they feel is the right thing to do, and yet it brings to them no satisfaction. And all the time they're doing it, they're carrying a heavy burden. I particularly feel for the Roman Catholic people, but It's not just the Roman Catholic people. Most Protestants today really have little light of the gospel, and therefore they are in the same boat as the Roman Catholic people. They're required to do things, to fulfill certain obligations that their church says is necessary if they're going to get to heaven. And all the time as they do these things, they're under a burden. Burden of their sin. Because what they're doing doesn't in any way relieve burden of their sin. Doesn't relieve them. They go to their pilgrimages, they go to their services, they go to their church, and they come out, and there's no lifting of the burden. It's only the gospel alone that brings relief to the sinner. Here's the Savior saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We have to work for the Lord. We have to labor for the Lord. "Go work today in my vineyard," said the Father in this parable. And we have to do that. But this is a strange work, because as you engage in it, you enjoy rest. Now, where in this world can you find work that feels like rest? You can't. You can't. But working in God's vineyard brings you rest. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke." You know what a yoke is? And I'm not talking about eggs. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is an item of harness that ties two animals together. It rests across their shoulders, their neck. And if you have ever seen pictures of oxen pulling a cart, or even mules or horses pulling a plow, there's a yoke between them, so that together they pull the burden that's behind them, that they're attached to. And the Lord Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." This is the second time he's promised this. "Ye shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He's stressing here for us that service in his vineyard is not an arduous thing, boys and girls. The devil stands at the gate of the vineyard, and he's muttering to everyone who's going in, "Oh, you're heading for trouble, you're heading for a hard day in there. What a burden you're going to have to carry." That's what the devil says. But you listen to what the Savior says. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That's what the Savior says. I have to say to you, boys and girls, that working in God's vineyard is a joy. It's not what the devil said it to be. It's a joy. It's not what the flesh would say it is. It's a joy to work for God. He's the best possible master. He's not a slave driver, but he's kind and gentle. He says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." That's the heart of the one who is our master. I'm commending him to you today, boys and girls. I'm telling you, there's no one like Jesus, and I trust that you're serving him. I think I have a few minutes left yet, and I want to just take a moment to consider some of the words that are in this verse. Rest. What is the Savior talking about? Now, I've often said to you that when you want to understand the meaning of a word in the Bible, you should look at where it appears in other places. Our English translators, when they were translating Hebrew or Greek words, they realized that these Hebrew and Greek words did not exactly match any one English word. In some circumstances, a certain English word conveyed what the Greek or Hebrew word meant. In other places, there was a slightly different shade of meaning, so they used another English word. And it is only when you look in your Bible at the various words that have been used to translate the Hebrew or the Greek word that you're considering, that you will see the various shades of it. If you're looking at anything, a flower, beautiful flower, you will not just stick it in front of your nose, but you'll turn it around. You'll see the various sides of it, the different angles of it. Note the beauty that is there and how there are shades and variations of that beauty in all of the flower. And that's the same with these words. You look at them and you see just the various shades of meanings that are to be found. Now this word rest, if you turn to Luke, I'm going to take the time, we might not get it all done today, but I'm going to take the time to have you look with me at these various shades so that you understand what I'm saying. We're looking at the Gospel of Luke, the chapter 12, and the verse 19. Now these are words the most of you will remember. Here's what verse 19 says. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is that old farmer who's prospering well. And here's what he says to himself as he sees this prosperity. He says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Take thine ease. That's the word that the Savior uses in Matthew 11, though there it's translated by the word rest. So this old farmer says, take your rest, take your rest. And the Lord Jesus is saying that if you work for me, ye shall find ease for your soul. You'll find ease for your soul. When, like you carrying your school bag, when it's full of books, and off you go and you're carrying it, and you're not too far on your journey before the strap of it begins to cut into your shoulder. So what do? You give it a bit of a shug, and you move the strap to another position so as to ease the weight on that part of your shoulder. Move it to another part. It eases the muscles on that part of the shoulder that had been carrying the school bag. And the Savior says, if you work for me, you will get a sense of ease, not burden, not a cutting like the strap of the school bag, not a cutting into you, but when you shift the school bag and there's an ending of that cutting sensation, that's the word that describes what it is to work for the Lord. It's used in another place, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and the verse 18. Verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. He's talking about certain workers and Christians in the church, and he says of them, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. But where's our word there? It's the word refresh. It's the same word that the Savior used. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. Paul uses that word, and our translators said that the shade of meaning here that is necessary for us to understand what Paul is saying, we can't use the word rest, but we'll use the word refresh. And that's what it is, boys and girls. To serve the Lord is a refreshing thing. Refreshing thing. Again, things have changed out there on the farm, but I can remember at this time of the year, you would have been in the bog cutting turf. Later on, you'd be in the hay field cutting hay. And the most welcome sight on that occasion was when through the gate of the field or up the mountainside to where you were cutting turf, there came the ladies, mommy, maybe some of the girls in the family, and they were carrying baskets. And they had tea and sandwiches, scones, covered in jam. And oh, how gladly you sat down, and how refreshing it was to partake of what Mammy and the girls had prepared. Refreshing. That's what it means to work for the Lord. It's a time of refreshing. Your soul is refreshed as you work for the Lord. So contrary to this world scene where I mentioned the bog, I mentioned the hayfield, it was work and sweat and toil, then came the refreshing. But when you're serving the Lord, it's refreshment all the time. It's a constant refreshment. When you do something for the Lord, you're refreshed by doing it. Not wearied, but refreshed. Another verse I want you to look at. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians and the chapter 7. Now I'm going to really just take the time, boys and girls, for it's so important that you understand just what it is the Savior is saying about service for him. 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. There's Paul, comforted. by hearing of how his fellow laborer Titus was refreshed when he came to Corinth and saw what was happening and met the people there. He was refreshed. His labors among them was not an arduous thing, but rather a refreshing thing. Please grasp today how service for God, boys and girls, slandered by the world, slandered and maligned by the devil, is a refreshing, restful, blessed thing. One more verse, and this time it's in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 14 and the verse 13. Revelation 14, and it's the verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. You ever wondered what heaven is like, you who are saved? Have you ever thought, what will heaven be like for us? Well, here's a word that describes heaven as such a wonderful place. It takes many, 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 many words, and you'll find them in the Scriptures. But here's one of them, rest. It's a place of rest. Place of rest. And when you serve the Lord here on earth, you enjoy something of the rest of heaven. You enjoy something of the peace and the comfort and the ease and the refreshment of heaven. There's nowhere else in this world that you will enjoy that. There's no other place in this world. There's no other activity in this world that you will find that. Oh, the devil will say, oh, follow me, and oh, what pleasures you'll enjoy. But the pleasures of sin are only for a short season. But in serving God in his vineyard, you will find ease, refreshment, rest. Even the rest that will be enjoyed in its fullness in heaven. Do you hear me? Oh, go today and work in God's vineyard and enjoy this rest. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer, please. Oh God, our heavenly Father, oh give the children understanding. Whet their appetite, Lord, that they might eagerly seek out the service of God, that they might give themselves over to working for the Lord. Bless our school today. Undertake. Remember those who are in exams even at this moment. Help them, Lord. May they even look to thee while seeking and searching their memory. May they ask the Lord for his help. Answer prayer. Grant your blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen.